I've asked the praise team to assist me tonight. So, Patty?
All right. Now, we're just going to worship the Lord a little bit more tonight.
A little out of ordinary, but it's okay, amen. I think I'm all now.
Hallelujah. There I am.
Test.
Okay.
Test.
Let's do hallelujah, y'all, and let's be in the spirit now. I'm out again. There I am again. Wow. Y'all ready? Count us in. One. Hallelujah.
She's singing in the right key. Is she right? Tina, put the mic closer to your mouth.
Hey, hey, come on, y'all. Hey, get right now.
The mic's not on.
Thank you, praise team. You may leave the platform. Oh, I forgot to mention this to you. Ish was also helping me. What you just got to hearing was ununity and unharmony. And when I mentioned to Patty, she said, oh, just what we normally do.
Not quite.
All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's your word that we want to hear tonight, Father. And Father, it's your spirit that must teach us. Father, I don't want any acclamation. I want all the acclamation to go to you, Father. And Father, I thank you that it will. In Jesus' name, amen. So what about this demonstration you just got through seeing from the praise team? Was that something that you could really get into? Would you be able to join it and worship and be focused on one thing? No. It couldn't happen, right? It's difficult. The words unity and harmony, they're actually synonyms for each other, if you look it up, okay? So they're interchangeable words. And you see that in Scripture. They are interchangeable. In one place where we see harmony described is in Psalm 133. And you got a little handout just to follow by if you want to. You don't have to, okay? So Psalms 133, David describes harmony here. He says, first of all, this is a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, okay? How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony, brothers and sisters, okay? For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard onto the border of his robe. It flowed all over him. Okay? Harmony is as refreshing as a dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. Refreshing. It refreshes us. It lifts us up. Okay? And there the Lord has pronounced his blessings, even life everlasting. Okay? That's David's description of harmony to us, which is great. It is really great. If you look at the word unity and look at the Latin word for that, it's unus or unus or whatever you want to call it, but it means one. Okay? When it's used as an adverb, when that word is used as an adverb, it also means at the same time. Okay? So oneness, at the same time, at the same time. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want that unity, we want that harmony with our lives individually. We want that harmony, unity, that oneness at the same time in our lives as a family. We want that in our lives as a church when we come together with oneness, with one purpose, one focus. Okay? I'd like to go back to the beginning in Genesis. And I'm going to paraphrase some scripture here, okay? First one is in Genesis 1, 26, 27. This is where God says, let's make man in our image, according to our likeness. This is not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness, okay? And then let them have a complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, entire earth, everything, okay? So, God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him male and female. Okay, so here God creates man. Then if we look at Genesis 2:15, it says, so the Lord took the man he'd made and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. So the man was created in the likeness of God. Man was put somewhere with one purpose, for oneness. Okay? And then in Genesis 2:21, this is where Adam is put in deep sleep, a rib is removed, and he creates another creation. And he asks Adam, what do I call this? And Adam says, we call it woman. Okay? So now we have this oneness that was existent because of God's creation. Now we have a oneness that is created again, and we have still have oneness, man and woman. Then we look at what happens later on in Genesis 3:8, after Eve has spoken to the serpent and listened to the serpent, okay, broke that oneness, got away from the oneness with Adam. So here's what happened. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool afternoon breeze. Apparently, most scholars believe this was a common occurrence. God actually walked the earth with his creation in the garden that he'd put them in, okay? So they had a union. They had a harmony there together. So the man and the wife, what did they do? They hid themselves. Whoops. Okay? From the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. All of a sudden, that unity, that harmony that had existed has been broken. It doesn't exist. Sin broke it. The actions of Adam and Eve broke that harmony. Okay? So, the result of that has been this unity and this harmony in the world. Okay? There was a need for someone to fix that broken harmony and unity. This is where Jesus came to be that personal fix for each one of us. Okay? And with that unity and harmony, or that oneness is fixed, then the Holy Spirit can provide unity and harmony between God and me, God and you, and that births and grows the unity and harmony between us in the church. So our unity in the church is dependent upon our unity and harmony with God the Creator. And Jesus recreates or fixes that brokenness back to us again. So this is where unity, harmony began. God created it to begin with. It was there. And man's actions broke it. And God's actions fixed it for us individually. So when we go to our scripture, our focal verse, which is Romans 15, 1 through 6, okay? What we're looking at here, Paul is addressing this not to someone out in the community. Paul's not addressing this to someone outside. He's addressing this to the church. Because that's the only place that true unity and harmony can exist. And it's not because of what we do. It's not because of what we do. We are the receivers of unity and harmony. The Holy Spirit gives it. And the reason we have it is because as Christians, we have indwelling with us the Spirit. Okay? So if we read Romans 15, 1 through 6, and I like to kind of read verses before the focal verse, just to kind of get a scope of what we're looking at here. So it reads this way. This is out of the New Living Translation. It reads, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves." Now, if you have to go back to the previous verses to understand what just this is, okay? Like this. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Okay? For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scripture says, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Christ lived to please his Father. Okay? Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Okay? Wait patiently. That means that sometimes the promise don't happen immediately. It's not microwave promises. It's waiting sometimes. And then verses 5 and 6. "May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete, not just partial, or not just a little bit, and not just enough, but complete harmony with each other." Again, remember, Paul is writing this to the church. He's writing this to believers. Okay? "As is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then, all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay. Now, I want to read a little bit of this from the Amplified Version, especially verse 1. It says, "Now we who are strong," this being in our convictions and faith, okay, not physically strong, but strong in our convictions and faith, "ought to patiently put up with the weakness of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves." Okay? It means you got to work. It doesn't come to you naturally. Okay? It is an effort. And then if we look a bit in verse 2, it says, "Let each of us make it a practice to please his neighbor for his good, to build him up spiritually." Make it a practice. Not something you do once and forget about. It's a repeated effort. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. "For even Christ did not please himself, as is written in Scripture, 'The reproaches who reproached you, being the Father, fell on me, the Son.'" Okay, then if we go down to verse 6, verse 5. "Now may the God who gives you endurance and who supplies," gives you endurance and supplies, encouragement, "grant you to be the same mind," okay, "with one another according to Christ Jesus. So that with one accord you may with one voice glorify and pray and honor the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? Oneness. This is what these verses are talking about, oneness. Oneness is what happens with unity and harmony, is in completeness. Oneness within ourselves, if you will, oneness with each other, and oneness with the Father. Okay? The Greek word for this, and you have it on your handout, you can pronounce it if you want to. Home Oath Omadon, I'm not sure, okay. It means, as an adverb, when it's used as an adverb, it means with one mind, with one accord, and with one passion. With one, okay? It's a unique Greek word. It's not Latin and Greek, I'm sorry. Used 10 of its 12 New Testament occurrences in the book of Acts, okay? It helps us understand the uniqueness of the Christian community. I mean, where do you go out in the world and find a group of people that can be in one mind, with one accord, and with one passion? Maybe the football game for a team. But even then, not necessarily. Okay. Where else would you find that? You can't find that in the natural world. It doesn't exist any longer. Now, if you go back to Genesis, when the garden was first created, before sin, yes. But after that action of sin, it doesn't exist in the natural world. It can only, like I said before, it can only exist within the church. Because it's not something that we as naturally human beings will do. It has to be developed, it has to be given, it has to be through us, through the Holy Spirit. Through God, through the Holy Spirit, it's on the way. This Greek word is a compound of two words, meaning to rush along and in unison. Okay? And the image here is almost musical. That's the reason I asked the praise team to do this for me. A number of notes are sounded, which, while different, the notes are different, okay? Harmonize, or are in harmony, in pitch and tone. Okay, I'm getting somewhere with this, okay, in a minute. As instruments of a great concert, under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of the Church of Christ. Did you get this? It's the notes. Notes are different, but they all come together in harmony, in pitch and tone, in one accord, with one passion, with one purpose. So, 3 points tonight. First one, unity and harmony is of the Holy Spirit. We've already seen that, okay? But here's another verse, Ephesians 2, 14 and 18, reemphasizes this, okay? For he is himself, this is amplified, for he is, meaning himself, our peace, meaning our bond of unity and harmony. He is our bond of unity and harmony, being Jesus. He is, or Holy Spirit, he has made us both Jew and Gentile, if you will, one body, taking what was divided and made one body out of it, okay? And has broken down, meaning destroyed or abolished, the hostile dividing wall between us. That's what the church should be. There should be no dividing wall between any person and another person within the church, or between any person and God. If that dividing wall exists there, then you probably need to look and see, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Where is the Holy Spirit within your life? What does he have control? What does he not have control over that he needs to have control over? Okay? For it is through him, this is verse 18, that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction or access by one, Holy Spirit, to the Father, so that we are able to approach him. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the unity and harmony. It's not natural. You can see it all the time. I mean, Demary and I always have unity and harmony. You can tell by the life that we don't, okay? We don't. And then in Acts 2, 40 through 45, in the New Living Translation, this is where Peter continued preaching, okay? This is the Pentecost, okay? And what happened at Pentecost? What was the main event that occurred at Pentecost for the disciples? The filling of the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Peter continued preaching for a long time. Do we want our preachers to, well, no, I won't go that way, to preach for a long time? strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Now, does crookedness equal unity and harmony? How many movies have you ever seen made where the crooks usually end up beating each other up or knocking one of them off or whatever, okay? There's no harmony there in that crookedness, okay? Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, and about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Okay? This is right at Pentecost. Okay? A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, shared their money with those in need. Oneness. They came together. Okay? And in that togetherness, the apostles were allowed to perform miraculous acts within the church. Okay? And they performed it because of the Holy Spirit, not because of themselves, and not because of the group that was there, and not because Peter had preached a great message, and not because 3,000 had been saved, but because the Holy Spirit saw it and acted on it. And the disciples were open to the action, and the believers were open to the action. And they accepted it, and they saw it, and they experienced it. And they were in awe of it. Unity and harmony is of the Holy Spirit. And we already said, we can't do that. We have too many examples we can see in our society or in our everyday life where it doesn't happen. And when we come together in a body, now that could be to come together in the seniors meeting, okay? Come together in other ladies meeting, the youth come together in their Bible study, we come together here in the sanctuary, the worship center. Those are the times when we should experience unity and harmony together. Amen. When we come together outside in a supermarket, there should be unity and harmony between us. There shouldn't be anything against us. If we have a wall come up, we got a problem. Now that means that we probably always say something good about the pastor's message. Right? Yes. Yes, we do. We do. But this is it. The church should be that difference. That should be a light that shines so bright that it blinds the unchurched people, that they can't understand what's going on, because here are these people that come together and they have a wonderful time. They're joining themselves. And unity and harmony doesn't just have to be in a situation where you're glum and gloomy and solemn. It can be in a time of fun and fellowship and excitement and in a celebration and in sorrow and in grief. All of those times, all of those events of our life, we come together. Okay? Point two. Unity and harmony is diversity. Go back to that musical exclamation. You had different notes, right? But they all came together and harmonized in pitch and tone. That means that we don't all have to be alike.
That's right.
We don't have to be alike. As a matter of fact, God did not make us alike. He made us unique into who we are. And that uniqueness is great because He is great.
Yeah.
And because He is great, we can be great when we come together in unity and harmony. For instance, here's, I want to, in Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is in abundance, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, if there is any great depth of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in the Spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through Christ in Jesus. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit or through fictional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Important, self-righteousness can really be a bummer. Can really get in your way a lot of time and can really break unity and harmony within a body.
That's right.
Self-righteousness really can. Regard others as more important than yourself. Regard others more important than yourself. God first, somebody else second, and I'm third. That's sort of some things. Do not merely look at your personal interests, but also the interest of others. In Philippians 2, 19 through 30, I'm not going to read all these, but Paul talks about two guys, Timothy, okay? This was Timothy. This is diversity. Timothy was a teenager when he met Paul. The suspicion is this. His family lived in Lystra, so he was a Galatian, okay? His father was a Greek. Remember, Paul was a Jew of Jews, okay, at one time. We know nothing of Paul's father's faith, okay? But Timothy's mom and grandmother were faithful Jewish women who taught the Old Testament scriptures to this boy they loved so much. So here's Timothy. He has a father who's Greek. His mother and grandmother are Jewish. And they practiced the Jewish faith and they taught the Jewish faith on to Timothy. Okay? Now the other person was, however you want to pronounce his name, okay, I won't pronounce it for sure. But this name of this man is a very personal, common name, okay? And it was derived from the word Aphrodite, which means loving, lovely or charming, okay? The name corresponds to the Latin Ventilicus, which means handsome. I can't pronounce some of these words. I have trouble with English words, much less these other ones, okay? But it corresponds to a Latin word, which means handsome, and was very common in the Roman period. Interestingly, that name is pagan origin, okay? It means belonging to Aphrodite. The name of the goddess is actually incorporated into this name. He's a member at the church of Philippi. He was charged with supplies, which the church contributed for the relief of Paul in prison in Rome. So two distinctly different people, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Thank you, okay? Excuse me for not being able to pronounce his name correctly, okay? Two distinct people. Two diverse people, but they had one purpose. One purpose, okay? They served the Lord. And they both served the Lord by serving Paul. Okay? We know Timothy went on to be a preacher because Paul wrote him a couple of letters and gave him some instructions on teaching and preaching. Okay? We don't know anything else much about Epaphroditus other than Paul commended him for what his service was in the church in Philippi. Okay. So, we don't have to be the same. God doesn't want us to be the same. He does not want us all march. You know, have you ever watched Gomer Pyle? Who's out of sync with everybody else that's marching?
Gomer.
God doesn't look for us to all march together, but what he does do is look for us to have one mind, in one accord, with one passion, with one purpose. That's what the church is to be about. Don't want to take too much more. Okay. All right, third point. Unity and harmony is purpose. Okay. Or spiritual maturity. The example here is out of Acts 16:16-26, and I'm not going to read this all. This is where Paul and Silas are in a town, and the fortune-telling girl has been following behind him all the time, and Paul finally got fed up with her and cursed the spirit, told it to come out, the demon spirit, and it did. So the girl couldn't tell the future anymore. Right. Owners got kind of aggravated, to say the least, at Paul and Silas, had them thrown in jail, right? Okay. So they're in jail. About around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Purpose. Okay. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. The doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Doesn't that reflect a spiritual maturity that two men, after being beat up upon, if you will, put in the inners of a jail, a dungeon, where all the mice were, and all the slop was, and all the smells were, that they were able to sing and praise God? And why? And it doesn't say that one sang one song, one sang the other song. They sung and prayed together. And it was only two of them. That unity was there. Harmony was there because the Spirit was there. The Spirit was there. When we know the Spirit was there, because what happens a little bit in just a minute? A massive earthquake. And all the doors have flown open and the chains have flown off. So remember, whether we're here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or Wednesday evening together, worshiping and together, two of us can be out somewhere and still be in unity and harmony and be different and get the ears and eyes of everybody around us. All the other prisoners were listening in what was going on. So kind of to finish this up, okay, the more we possess Jesus' character and mind, the more we will experience the unity and harmony of the Holy Spirit, and our differences will not matter because we have oneness in the church's purpose.
That's right. That's right.
Remember that.
That's right.
That's unity and harmony. That's what unity and harmony does. It brings us together. It keeps us together, and it allows us to be focused on one thing, and that's the church purpose, church's purpose. Okay. Patty, if you and the praise team will come back up, please.
Here we go.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord,
Let's just lift our hands one time. Hallelujah. Just thank the good Lord that He brings us a good word. We can feast in this church. We have wonderful, anointed, great teachers. And we do have a good praise team. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this church and this family. Glory to your name. We worship and thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.